Good morning, Maranatha. Happy, blessed, Merry Christmas Eve. Amen. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, and this is Christmas Eve. And this is a sermon today that I believe that God wants you to hear. I want to thank you in the busyness of the Christmas season. Every Christmas is the same. It can become a distraction to us instead of this opportunity to once again see the wonder of the Christmas season and see it in Jesus Christ and what He has done. Friend of mine, I want to talk to you today about the great Christmas mystery. The great Christmas mystery. It sounds like a Hallmark title of some kind of, it probably is. There's so many things to intrigue us about some kind of Christmas thing, and we know how it's going to end before it begins. It's really not a mystery. Some gal is going to leave leave corporate America next to be president of the bank and going to come home for the season and meet some hayseed driving a pickup truck and fall for him. Yeah, right. Amen. That's not how the world works, is it? That's not how the culture values things. But it will on the Hallmark movie. And this, but we're not talking about a Hallmark movie here today. We're not talking about some kind of fantasy, some kind of made up story. No. And we're not talking about actors who are not really themselves playing a role. We're talking about truth in its purity and in all of its power. The great Christmas mystery to the Christian is the gospel of Jesus Christ in its wholeness, in its entirety. Let's talk about the mystery, the great Christian and Christmas mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." I like the Amplified. It said great and important and weighty. We confess is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh, justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit, and was seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. What mystery this is! What grace, what mercy, what love! That the very God of all creation would leave the splendor of heaven and come down to this fallen world where we live to become one of us, yet without sin, to become one with us, and to make us one with Himself, to make us one with Him, to go to the cross in order to do that and lay down His life to give us, you and I, life eternal. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." It's all about Christ, the second person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 said, "In Him was life." Jesus said it, didn't He? "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." To the world, this is a great mystery. And initially to us, but the mystery is now being revealed in and through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus, friend. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to dwell on this just for a moment. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This one line is the entire Christmas story. The entire message of the birth of Christ, the Word, God's fullness, the second person of the Trinity, sent by God as a message, the message of love and goodness and God's real presence in the world, sent to dwell in flesh, sent to be human, to live among us and speak our language so we might receive him and understand what God wants us to hear and know what was previously hidden, sent by God to be our Savior, sent by God to go to the cross in our place and bear our sins so that we could be reconciled unto him. Listen to Matthew 1, 20 and through 23. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Name, Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, Savior is what it meant. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, his title, you see, which being interpreted is God with us. This is a mystery, a virgin conceiving, a child of the Holy Ghost, a supernatural conception, God incarnate in flesh, Son of Man and Son of God simultaneously, Son of God and God the Son. No wonder, indeed, without controversy, the Christ of Christmas is full of mystery. And yet when you come to him as your Savior, that mystery begins to unravel and become crystal clear. And it's crucial to our faith that in this day of false teachers and false Christians and a false pseudo-Christianity, to hold steadfast to the fact that God was manifest in the flesh when Jesus Christ came to lay in that manger. God was manifest in the flesh when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross. 1 John warns us, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And I'm going to stop right here and talk to you a moment about trying the spirits. You say, well, we were doing so good talking about mangers, and then you started talking about the cross, and now you're talking about trying the spirits. That's exactly right, because we're in a day called the last days. They asked Jesus in Matthew 24, they asked him, what shall be the sign of thy coming, and when shall these things be, and the end of the age, the end of the world? One of the things he told them, it's crucial that we understand it, that we receive and heed the warning. Many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This false gospel, this false truth that has been literally polluted by all kinds of cultural ideas and ideologies and all kinds of Eastern religious philosophies. Oh, friend of mine, in the last days, deception will be the order of the day. And because iniquity, sinfulness will abound, people are not truly born again. That same old spirit of disobedience and rebellion under the influence of Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what contributes to the great falling away that the Bible said would come in the last days before the tribulation begins, and indicating the coming of the Lord is at the doors. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, because of false prophets believed and followed. The love of many will wax cold. That is the falling away from the faith. When love for God waxes cold, love for truth is thrown out, and we no longer pursue truth and try everything and everyone by the Word of God. Not just what we like or we think is right, but what God's Word declares. You know, we're told not to judge one another, take each other to law as Christians. We should go to the Word. We should get wisdom from elders in the church, mature ones, to settle things without going to man's system to do it. Dear friend of mine, we're to judge angels. That's why we are told you should settle this with each other. Know ye not that you shall judge angels? And we should be able to judge angels if they detract from the truth of the Word of God. For no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. How are we going to know? An angel of light appears. He's not got horns. He's not got a pitchfork and a pointy tail. No, he would never come that way. He would come as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. But if he speaks something that is contrary to the truth that was once delivered by the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the inerrant, eternal Word of the living God, that heaven and earth will pass away, my Word will abide forever. If he speaks contrary to lead us to depart from it, he's to be anathema. We're to not only reject him, resist him, but we're to say unto him, begone. God's greatest consternation and judgment be upon you. This is serious business, because if people listen to the devil in the name of Jesus, if they receive this spirit of error, this spirit of Antichrist in the name of Jesus Christ, that's the error. That's the deception. Listen to it. Listen. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Believe, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, just like Jesus said. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, this is the spirit that is controlling this man, this woman, this so-called leader, this Christian preacher, teacher, prophet, apostle, every person that the spirit of Antichrist is working in and through. Every spirit that will not confess that Jesus Christ was very God, the second person of the Godhead, but all the fullness dwelling within him as well. For he said, I and my Father are one, one in essence, one in purpose. Listen, friend, you can't separate God from Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from God. And that's what separates him even beyond the resurrection itself from every other leader of every world religion. None of them. They were prophets, yes, of their God, who was a man-made God. But Jesus was very God, manifest in flesh. And every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Emmanuel, God with us, he shall be called. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. And it's not easily recognized when many times it comes as someone is talking about Jesus Christ, even honoring him, but they will not, when pinned down, confess that he was very God in flesh. Whereof you've heard that it should come, and now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now I'm Pentecostal. Pentecostals in general, I know the Pentecostal movement. I'm not ashamed of it. I speak in other tongues if that's a problem. But I'm committed to the truth of the gospel. And I'm pursuing the knowledge of a person and knowledge from a person, not just trying to get a liver shiver on Sunday morning or experience something supernatural, although I experience the supernatural power of God often and the presence of God. For in that presence there's fullness of joy. Praise God. But friend of mine, this is not about the Holy Spirit's power in his might against the devil's power. You're of God, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you. Who is he that's in you that's going to help you overcome this great deception of the last days? He's the Spirit of truth, the Bible said. When he, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he does it by revealing the Word of God to us, by verifying the Word of God to us. Hallelujah. Listen, John's Gospel in the New Testament, 8:30 and 31, if you continue in my Word, you'll know the truth. That's talking about not just intellectually and experientially, but you will know it spiritually and supernaturally. Flesh and blood will bring the truth, but the revelation of it is by the Father through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said. When asked, who do men say that I am? They've got all kind of speculations. But who do you say I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. The fisherman, the blue-collar worker, not part of the theological thinking people of the day, but he had a revelation of Jesus that was perfect and powerful. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And on this rock, this revelation of Jesus being God incarnate, God with us, this great truth, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God, one with God and here with us. Praise God. Amen. On the revelation, this revelation of the mystery, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell, all the lying devils, deceiving devils of hell that hold out against it will not be able to prevail. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Listen, for every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, verse 3 of 1 John 4, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now is already in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, that is in you than he that is in the world. They're of the world, therefore they speak of the world. Speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We're of God. And knoweth God, and knoweth that God heareth us, and that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error, the truth of God in a true Christian will resonate. It will be confirmed by the Holy Spirit within. Amen. But it will come through the Word of God. Amen. Confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh means that the Messiah, the Anointed One, is very God and very man. Many people believe that Jesus was a good man. Yes, that was born in the Middle East. Okay, a great teacher, a prophet, even a priest. But a virgin born, immaculate, conceived child, a God manifest in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, that's where it breaks down. No way. Those who hold this view do not know the Christ of the Bible. But he that's in us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is greater than he, the devil. The spirit of lies, the liar from the beginning, a murderer because he's a liar and there's no truth in him. That's the spirit that is influencing the world and the culture and has crept into Christian circles where it should be rebuked, not just rebuffed, absolutely rebuked and rejected. Even if an angel come with another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be under the sternest judgment that God can grant, because these kind of errors has the potential to damn souls to hell while people think they're going to heaven. Following a false teacher, following a false Christ, following a false religious system. Following man-made gods instead of the God who made man. Friend of mine, we understand the mystery of Christmas because we believe and understand that Jesus is God with us. It's crucial to the faith. It's a cardinal truth. And without it, we don't have the gospel. We don't have the gospel because the gospel came to us upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Look at Romans 16:25-26. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You know, the Bible said, if the princes of this world, not just the political and military principles of the world that were in charge of that part of the world, Caesar's Rome and Pilate the governor, no, the princes of this world, we don't argue against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. If they had known, the scripture said, who Jesus was, that he was God in flesh, and if they had known the plan of salvation, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because they would have known it was through his cross, his seeming great cosmic defeat, that he obtained the greatest victory and took the keys of death and hell from the devil concerning those that would believe on him. Praise God. I feel the anointing of God here in this little office today where I'm making this broadcast. Did you feel it where you are? I don't go by my feelings. I go by the truth, but the truth stirs up feelings in me. How about you? Do you have on your shouting shoes this Christmas? Because you have the revelation of the great Christian and Christmas mystery. Hallelujah. And it's not play actors acting out roles. This is a truth that will outlive and transcend time itself. Heaven will pass away, earth as we know it and know them, and the earth will pass away as we know it. But God's Word, eternal, eternal truth will abide forever. And he that doeth the will of God, is just as eternal as the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. According to the revelation of the mystery, if the princes of this world has known, the Scriptures tell us, they'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. They'd have done it. The devil would have done everything he could and every demon to keep Jesus safe from dying on the cross for us. Because this was the plan of salvation. Because He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in God's plan. When He gave man a sovereign will, He knew he could abuse that and find himself needing redeeming and needing a Savior. So He already provided the safety net. Hallelujah. Praise God in Jesus Christ. Listen, the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Praise God. Amen. Listen, God's holy character, His perfect goodness, no darkness at all, perfect truth, perfect light, perfect love, the holy nature that is attended by the Shekinah glory of God in the old covenant was seen in the man and upon the man, Jesus Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelled. Listen to Colossians 2:8-9. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I and my Father are one. So when they ask Him, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It'll suffice us. He said, have you been with me all this time and you haven't yet seen the revealing of the mystery? Hallelujah. And you haven't seen the Father. When you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. This invisible but very real, viable God. Hallelujah. We can see His character. We can see His nature. We can begin to comprehend the incomprehensible. Without Jesus, God becoming flesh and Jesus Christ walking with us, talking to us in the language we understand, showing us the Father in a way we could comprehend Him, revealing the mystery. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For Jesus said, I and my Father are one. In closing, I want to read that from the Amplified. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw His glory, His honor, and His majesty. Such glory as the only begotten Son receives from His Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. This then is the revealing of the mystery, and it's full of the glory of God this Christmas season. Hallelujah. I see Jesus. I see Him. And you know what He said? He said, the words I speak are not mine, but what I hear my Father say. See Him showing us the Father's heart. He's showing us the Father's will, the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh every word He spoke. He's showing us the heart of the Father so we could comprehend it, so we could obey Him, so we could love Him back for loving us. Such grace, such mercy. The works I do, everything I do, are not mine. I'm not arbitrarily doing things because I have power and authority, but what I see my Father do. So every word that He spoke, everything that He did, He showed us the goodness, the purity, the power, the very person of God. And I'm going to tell you, the more I see of Jesus and hear Him speak, the more I can love the Father, because He's not vague. He's not aloof in His heaven. He's here with us. I can comprehend and apprehend the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of His love, that God is love, has love, gives love, and it is divine and infinite. Hallelujah. And through that, be filled with all of the fullness of God. Oh, dear friend, I pray this Christmas you'll be filled with all the fullness of God as you once again go to the Scripture and you see the Father in and through Jesus Christ. When you really see Him, you'll be able to comprehend the Father and rejoice, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth. Hallelujah. When we cry, Abba, Father, the Holy Ghost says, that's the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend, this is a great Christmas mystery, but to those of us who are saved, it is filled with majesty, grace, and glory, and it is no longer vague and confusing, but it's becoming clear. Just like the path of the just, that gets clearer and clearer until the perfect day. Now we look through a glass darkly with our best progressive revelation of God. But then when He comes face to face, hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad that you have come, taken time to share the good news of Christmas with us today, to get rooted and built up in Him, grounded in the faith, hanging tough in these tough times. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, I pray that you will come to Him, that you will begin to understand the mystery that's been hidden, but now is being declared. God, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, one with the Father, took on flesh, came into our fallen world, laid helpless as a baby, a newborn in a manger, hung helpless on a cross. He wasn't really helpless. He didn't have to go to that cross. He didn't have to do it. But He did. I love that song. He didn't have to do it, but He did. Thank God. That makes it so much more precious. No man takes my life from me, Christ said. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This all-powerful one looked like he was hapless, helplessly hanging on the cross. They heard him cry when he who knew no sin became as sin. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, friend. What love. What love. But it's no longer a mystery, for we can see the love of God. We can see God of love in Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Don't go further into the darkness of this old world that's getting darker by the day. Come to the light. Come to the life. Come to the love, repent of your sin, and be saved.